Many of you may know, and some of you may not, that among other things that we like to do at my house, we keep chickens. We've got a small flock of chickens. And of course, because we live within city limits, they have to all be hens, but that's just fine. Now, you may have not had experience raising these animals. They can be a little tricky. And one of the things that you have to watch for with them is every so often, they'll sort of give in to their instinct and just decide no matter what, they're going to hatch an egg. It's called being broody. We had a hen that became broody recently. She just decided she was going to hatch one of these eggs. And again, I don't have roosters. So you can guess this is not going to turn out very well for this hen. One of the ways that you can solve this problem, they've just decided that they're going to be a mama hen no matter what, is to just buy them some chicks. You buy them some chicks, you wait until it's nice and dark and everybody's asleep, and you sneak them in. And the hen wakes up and goes, "Look, I did it!" The fact that she'd been sitting on one ceramic egg for about a month, and she woke up to three chicks, she's a chicken, she can't do math. So, it doesn't always work for a first-year hen, because their instincts aren't quite yet firmly ingrained. So I told my children, I'm going to go to Meyer Hatchery, they have day-olds, and I'm going to buy some chicks. But don't get too excited about these chicks, because it's quite possible she'll reject them, or she will ignore them. Or she'll be really good with them for a couple hours and then forget what she was doing and wander off. Because again, she's a chicken. And they're not necessarily the most brilliant animal God ever put on the face of the earth. Although they're way smarter than people think they are. And she's a first year hen. Doesn't quite know what she's doing. So I said to my children, don't get attached. Whatever you do, don't name the chicks. Because they may not make it. Well, let me tell you what, those chicks did not make it home before they had names. So they all have names now. So we're invested in these chicks no matter what. These chicks are going to make it. And so far, so good. Our little black hen is doing really well, and she is a good mama. But our kids would have been devastated because, of course, they're already attached. The chickens already have names. They're just, you know, going to be a part of the family. And hopefully, and people say to me, oh, well, it's great you have chickens, you get free eggs. It's sort of like growing tomatoes, you know. It's the best $5 tomato you've ever had. Because there's no such thing as free anything, you know. You do it for altogether different reasons. But, so, you know, we will see how everyone does. Now we have three new chicks, Hazel, Trixie, and Nugget. Not sure, but I'm pretty sure my son named Nugget. He'd named the previous one the Colonel, so it's a theme. It's a theme. So, you know, here's the thing. As humans, we do become attached. You know, it's one thing to tell the children you can't name the chicks. It's another thing to, you know, make them not name the chicks because they're just going to get attached. We are, I think, in some ways satisfied and fulfilled when we help take care of and love other creatures, other people. There is something very immensely fulfilling in the act of caring for someone or something. Even if it is a little itsy bitsy teeny weeny chick. In Jesus' day, they had chickens, but they also had sheep. These are things that every single person who would have lived in that part of the world would have well understood. And it was also part of the understanding was that when you were the shepherd of the sheep, you knew your sheep. And you didn't just know them as, oh, hey, I think that one's mine. It's got my mark on it. You knew them by name. Now, I don't know how shepherds can tell the difference between sheep. Because I have two Rhode Island red hens, and half the time I get their names wrong. But the shepherds could tell the difference from one sheep to the next. They say, oh, well, that one's, you know, John, and that one's Jeff, and those over there are Jane and Mary and Sue, and we know who they are because we live every day with them. But just as impressive is the fact that the shepherds could look out and say, I know which sheep are mine. The sheep knew which shepherd was theirs. So the sheep would say, oh, I know that human, that's our human. We belong with this human. And Jesus tells this parable that the sheep know the shepherd's voice and they follow the shepherd. And as awesome as that sounds, it does lose a little bit in the translation if you did not live in the ancient world. Because you see, back then, shepherds would keep a flock of sheep and they would take the sheep out and they would pasture the sheep. They would take the sheep out to the greenest possible grass they could find, pasture the sheep, let the sheep eat the grass right down to the ground, and then you move on with it. And the sheep follow the shepherd. But when it was time to bring the sheep in, most shepherds did not have their own fold. They did not have their own pen where the sheep were kept. They had community pens. And so you'd bring your sheep into the community pen, and there was usually a person there who would be in charge of you know, checking you in. And you would just turn your flock of sheep loose with everybody else's sheep. And there'd be this giant mulling mass of sheep just wandering back and forth. And when you got there in the morning, you would say, hey sheep, let's go out to the pasture. All your sheep would separate from the other sheep and they would come to you. And then you'd lead them out to the greenest grass you could find for them. And this was just part of day-to-day life. Everyone knew that's how sheep behave. If the shepherd shows up and he says, hey, sheep, come on, let's go out. It's not like random sheep are going to jump in there. And even if a random sheep did jump in, the shepherd would go, hey, who are you? You're not one of my guys. Back with the rest of the flock. I don't know who you are. So when Jesus says that he is the good shepherd, what he means is he knows our name. He knows who we are. He recognizes us as individuals. He cares for our well-being. He desires to take us to the best possible life that he can lead us to. And in his wisdom, will lead us where we need to go next. And that he will care for us to the point that he is willing to lay down his life for us. And what's more, he says that this is not just, you know, this is not an industrial agricultural, you know, sort of thing where, you know, enormous herds of stuff get herded around by helicopters. No. We know our shepherd because our shepherd is engaged in a relationship with us. Our shepherd is engaged in our day-to-day life. Our shepherd speaks to us. Our shepherd talks to us. Our shepherd cares for us. We know our shepherd's voice. We hear his voice. Well, that's what we're doing right now. We're engaging with the shepherd's voice. We hear the scriptures read. We listen to the gospel lesson. We spend time ruminating on what that means. We listen and learn to hear our shepherd's voice. It's what we're doing in this very moment. And then when he calls us to live a certain way, to do a certain thing, to go in a particular direction, when he calls us out, we hear his voice and we respond. The rest of the world does not respond because they don't know his voice, because they don't have the relationship. They have not yet heard this continuous dialogue that we hear. They've not had the relationship, so they don't know the voice. Jesus says to his disciples something that I think they might have considered a little hard to follow or understand. Jesus says to his disciples, and I have sheep that are not here. I have sheep that are not present in this particular location, and I have to go gather them to myself as well. And I imagine on some level, the disciples were looking at Jesus and thinking, what sheep is he talking about? Obviously, this is a metaphor. Obviously, this is a metaphor for God and God's people, but God has only one people, the people of Israel. Does Jesus just want to go to other parts of Israel and find people that he's not spoken to yet? But of course, we know Jesus here is talking about his much greater plan. His plan that at some point, all of the people of this earth will be invited to share in a relationship with God Almighty. Will be invited to be a part of the flock, and that the shepherd will come to know us personally. Know us by name, know us for who we are, how we live life. Know us and love us, be willing to give his life for us, and that in this way that the message of God's love will be taken to the whole of the earth, so that anyone, everywhere, is invited to be a part of what the shepherd is doing. Disciples weren't quite yet aware of what that would mean. Although if you look at the lives, in particular, the deaths of the disciples, you discover that many of the apostles did not die, in fact, most of the apostles did not die in Jerusalem. Some of them died as far away as India and Spain, because they had gone out into the world seeking the lost sheep who would respond to the shepherd's voice. We live in a world of lost sheep. We live in a world in which it is not out of the ordinary, but is instead the norm for people not to know the shepherd's voice. And I don't know how our little baby chicks at our house, how long it's going to take them, but they've already sort of gotten accustomed to the notion that if they see me coming, it means that I'm bringing food and I am a good thing. Because when I come, they run out of their little chicken shed and they run at me like, it's the food person, we like him. They've learned in a week's period of time to trust the fact that I'm there not to eat them, but to feed them. It does not take long to learn the shepherd's voice. But we have to be the ones speaking it in the world that we live in. We have to be the ones sharing it with people who've not yet heard it. We have to be the ones expressing it, not just with how we live our lives, there's nothing wrong with that, that's marvelous too, but with the words that we say, with the message that we share, with the credit that we give when someone says to us, you seem like you're awfully happy today. Do we say, that's right, I'm doing great today? Or do we say, that's right, God's blessed me enormously today? The words we say matter, because that's how the world hears the shepherd's voice. How will it respond and come to know and trust that voice if we're not speaking it? Like I said, when Jesus said to the disciples, I've come to gather sheep who don't yet know me in order that they might all be part of one flock, his disciples were confused about what he meant by this. And after all, weren't God's only people the people of Israel? But by the time these disciples came to the end of their lives, and frequently violent, martyred ends, they were scattered around the ancient world, taking the shepherd's voice wherever they thought sheep might be. So I say to you all, as those who are simultaneously the sheep called by the shepherd, trusting the shepherd, following the shepherd, but also at the same time, those who are entrusted with the shepherd's voice, listen for where it is the shepherd calls us, how it is the shepherd calls us to live, and also how we are called to speak the shepherd's voice into the world that we live in. Amen.